The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus is answering a question that Judas, not Iscariot, had just asked Jesus. And he says, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? And so now our text picks up and Jesus answers him. Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now, I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for one more day to wake up in the joy of knowing you and the joy of being known by you. Yet we still have our doubts and our worries and our concerns and our fears. But our fervent prayer is that you will remind us daily that we are not alone, that we are in your presence, and your peace is with us. Amen. It was 1997. In a worship service during the Easter season, just as this, at Ebenezer Lutheran Church in downtown Columbia, where I had gathered with my family. One sister had just been married, the other had been proposed to. I had recently just graduated and was headed off to the real job. I had other jobs, but the real job. And we were singing the hymn, which is one of my favorites. Jesus Christ is risen today. Alleluia. And as I looked down the pew at my family and others, brothers and sisters in Christ who I didn't know, but who had gathered there to worship the risen Lord, that moment, I felt at home. I felt at peace. I was relaxed. I was comfortable. Not everything was right in the world, but in that moment, I felt at harmony, in harmony with my surroundings. Now, I want you to try and think of that type of memory. Maybe it was far distant in the past, in your childhood. Maybe it was just last night. Maybe it was at the birth of your child or your grandchild or your graduation or first real job. Think of that time when you felt at peace. And I want you to hold on to that feeling. That's the feeling that I think Jesus is trying to impart to his disciples in that first verse from the Gospel of John. Feel free to look in your bulletin, but it's verse 23. When he says, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them, and we will make our home with them. That we is God and God's Son, Jesus. God and God's Son, Jesus, is promising that they will make their home in these disciples. And let it be known, you are one of God's disciples as well. God and Jesus are presently, today, making their home in you. And the reason Jesus is saying this to his disciples is because it's the night before Jesus is going to die. It's the night before Jesus is leaving them. And I can only imagine what the disciples are thinking, right? They're lost. They may feel abandoned. They're concerned. They don't know what their future is going to be like. And they just want one more minute. Wait a minute, Judas asked. Wait, I gotta ask you one more question. Because maybe, just maybe, you might give me some kind of secret knowledge so that I can go on the next day and the next day and next week and next month. Because I don't feel at home right now, Jesus. And he says, I don't want you to worry about the future. Because God is making a home inside of your heart. Not a home with four walls that carries a mortgage or rent, or you have to go paint that white picket fence, or you need to sod that yard, or somebody hit your mailbox last night with a baseball bat. Not that kind of home. But the home in your heart, where you know that you are at peace and you are one with God. That is a promise that God gives to us each day, but also gives and gave to the disciples then. I want you to notice that it's a present tense in this verse. When he says, we are going to make our home with you. Not, I'm going to make the home that I built years and years ago when the disciples were there. But that I am continually coming to you each and every day to make that home with you. So that you can be at peace. Not that it means that everything is right and perfect. But in the midst of those times when it's not right and it's not perfect, that internal peace in your heart, that's the feeling that God wants you to have. That's the feeling that Jesus wanted those disciples to have. So that they knew, so that we knew, we are loved, we are accepted, and we are in harmony with our surroundings. Now, knowing now that God makes this daily home with us in our hearts, how do we respond to that? How do we respond to this awesome promise that God is going to continually make that home in us? Worship on Sunday is indeed one way, as we gather with brothers and sisters here. But daily, that Monday through Saturday, how do we daily create that space in our hearts where we can have that feeling of being at home? Maybe it's in nature. Maybe it's when you exercise. Maybe it's when you're driving down the road or when you're doing your prayerful devotions. When you're sewing buttons on to a quilt. Maybe that's when you feel at home. For our family, it's when we do our Faith Five. Admittedly, we would like and strive to do this every single night in our home, but we don't. But we miss it when we don't. Our Faith Five, where we share our highs and lows, where we read God's Word and we invite God into our daily high and low. And we connect with what God is trying to say to us with what's happening in our life. So it becomes relevant to all of us. And then we pray about that, and then we bless. And we mark the sign of the cross on each other. And we say, God blesses you. In our psalm today in 67, that's when God says, God is blessing all of God's nations, all of God's people. And I'm the vessel to my son and my daughter and my husband when I say, God blesses you. This is when I feel at home. And we've done it on the baseball field. We've done it in the car. We've done it with my mom on the phone when she wasn't with us. We have tried to do this so that we can create that space in our hearts for God. But I also think that maybe that daily space and that daily showing God's love to us is in action. Gwen said it nicely as well, that it's in the action of all of us, and not just women, but women and men, boys and girls, no matter your age, it's in our action where that love is expressed. Jesus expressed that love and that sacrifice on the cross. Someone here in this congregation sent a pew bear to a young lady who was 5 years old who was having surgery. And someone sent her that bear so that she could be at peace in the midst of something that would be very, very scary and unknown to a five-year-old. Someone else here in this congregation also handed out a blessing bag to someone in Finley Park who at first said, why are we making these? Why are we passing out water and toothpaste and toothbrush and deodorant to people that we see on the streets? Because that's God's love in action through you. making the sign of the cross on someone's forehead or on their hand. It's God's love in action. And in those actions, that's when God continually is making that home inside of you. And you are being a vessel by which to show someone else. You are loved. You are accepted. And God is making God's home in you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, because God first loved us, that is how we are able to love others. And so all of this is being said by Jesus to the disciples again the night before he's about to die. Certainly, there's a lot of uncertainty going on in their minds. And I'm sure they're saying, yeah, but wait a minute. I'm just not sure I can do this. And something that Dr. Havens in her seminary class said to me, she said, there are no buts when it comes to the grace and love of Jesus. When you hear that good news that God is making a home in you, you don't say, but wait a minute, I gotta tell you something that I did. No, there's no but. There's no but when it comes to the grace and love of Jesus. God is going to continually make God's home inside of you. And so then the disciples go, yeah, but wait a minute. Okay, that sounds great, but that's when Jesus goes on to say, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you, notice the present tense, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. That present tense, I'm going to continue teaching you and reminding you, I am not abandoning you. I am going to continue to be with you. In our Nicene Creed, we say, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. Present tense, proceeds from the Father right now, is happening right now. The Holy Spirit is here right now. And it is in that moment where we can feel at home with God our Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is guiding us. The Holy Spirit is revealing to us a path in the midst of our decisions where we may not know what the end is. Doesn't this sound like really good news that makes you feel, or hopefully makes you feel, in harmony with your surroundings? I hope so. But God, wait a minute, let me tell you one more thing I'm struggling with. There are no buts. Because then Jesus goes on to say in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, that you receive this peace. If you look up the definition of peace, it doesn't say that it's a freedom from conflict or it's an absence of disappointment. Rather, it's a promise that God is with us in the midst of our disappointments, in the midst of our hurt, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of those decisions that we're afraid if we go this side, oh my goodness, we're going to really wish we went that side. God is with you in the midst of that. And that peace lets you know that whatever decision that you make, God is going to be with you all the way through that. So it's not an absence of conflict. I think sometimes when you ask someone, what is your wish today? Somebody might flippantly but very truthfully say, world peace. Amen. I would agree with that. But that seems so dynamic, doesn't it? So how do we think about the peace in our own little world? Right? And how do we get that? I tell you how. Somebody once asked me, why do we share the peace in worship? Because I sort of feel all rushed. I sort of feel like I need to come up, I need to, hey Bob, peace be with you, hey Mark, peace be with you, and then I gotta hurry up and get back to my seat because something's gonna happen and I might miss it. Or I gotta find in the bulletin so I know what's gonna happen next. Right? Rather, what if we went up to someone and said, Mark, Christ's peace be with you. and we made eye contact with them so that they knew that God was working through us to remind them of that peace. Because I have no idea what's going on in Mark's world right now. Jesus does. And by my words to you, Jesus is using me to say, Mark, Jesus' peace is with you. No matter what. The sign language for peace, I want you to do it with me. Because when I do this, there is something that washes over me and reminds me of Jesus' peace. You take your hands like this, you put them on top of each other, and it's kind of like you're smushing something, and then it just sort of goes to the side like that. So whenever you feel like, I'm not at home, Jesus, I don't know what's going on, I'm not at peace, you can make the sign of God's peace. And let that love and that compassion and that mercy and that hope flow all over you. Because we do get caught up in so many things. And we do sometimes focus on our disappointments and our hurt. And it is in those times when we really do need to feel that peace. So I encourage you, when we share the peace plan, share it with your brother and sister. Truthfully, wholly, knowing that God is using you to give that peace and to breathe that Holy Spirit onto them. In our second lesson for today, in Revelation 22, John of Patmos is telling everyone of this new city, this new Jerusalem. And we're reminded that while God is daily making God's home in us here on earth, God is also making a heavenly home for us as well. God is promising a new home for us where all of our needs are being taken care of. It says in there that all of our needs for food and water and whatever our needs are, all of those are going to be met. God is promising a river of life with fruit of all kinds, all growing all along the side of this river. And there's leaves coming off of this tree of life. And those leaves, it says in Revelation 22, is providing healing for all the nations. Those nations from Psalm 67 that Dio was reading about. Healing for all of those nations. And you may say, that sounds great, but that's my heavenly home. I got stuff here going on. God is making that home for you here. And even here in this worship space, I invite you to look at the stained glass window on the left-hand side. And luckily for this worship service, we have some sunshine coming through, so hopefully you'll be able to see it. Some 26 years ago, as Miss Gale taught me when I came here 5 or 6 years ago, but Miss Gale shared with me the history behind these stained glass windows. And in this left one, on the bottom portion, hopefully you can see there the tree of life. It's the brown part, the different colors of brown and burgundy. That's that tree of life that we hear about in Revelation 22. And if you look on the sides of it, down, flowing down beside it, that's the river of life. That's the river of life that is giving sustenance to the tree of life, which is also giving us life. It's feeding that tree of life to make sure that the fruit of all different kinds is provided for us, for all of the nations. And that water that's surrounding that tree of life reminds us of the water that we received in our baptism, that flows through us, that gives us that peace that this world cannot give. Sends us that Holy Spirit presently, today, always, in our hearts. We get a glimpse right here in this worship space through our stained glass windows of that heavenly home that God is making. And through each one of us, we are seeing God making that home in each one of us. We are fed here at the table. We are fed at the font. We are fed through stained glass windows. We are fed and embraced by the warmth of quilts and teddy bears. We have been given everything here so that now we can go out there and deal with all of that stuff that the earth and the world throws at us. And be reminded that we can be at peace with that. That memory I asked you earlier to think of, I want you to remember that memory and hold on to that. And I encourage you to make more of those so that you know what that at home, that at peace feeling is. For the ultimate, you know that God's making that home in heaven and here with each one of us. This is our true home, where we can all be at home together as well. God is our home, where the peace of Christ that passes all earthly understanding is, and where we are loved and accepted. Where we are at peace, where we are at ease, where we are in harmony with our surroundings. God is making a home in each one of us so that we can be at home together. Thanks be to God for the promise of Easter, the promise of the Holy Spirit, and the promise that God is making a home in us.